Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, good morning. You guys sounded loud to me today. Praise God. Are you ready to just be excited this morning? You know, we started 30 years ago. We're in between in a series that we're calling 2041. We're looking ahead at Joy Christian Center. In a sense, it's 50th anniversary. And I shared four things with you last week about in 20 years, 2041, it will be our 50th anniversary. And so that is what we are kind of looking towards. We could look backwards at all the things that God has done for us in the last 30 years. And there are, I would call them signposts on the way, just different things that happened in those 30 years. I said it to you this way, that vision many times is the result of a God thing. God does something in our life and it propels vision. It ignites vision on the inside of us. And I could go all the way back to when we were pastoring a church in fact, I just did. When we were pastoring a church in Pennsylvania, I was a little bit just a little frustrated, and I was praying and seeking God. God, what is going on the inside of me? And we had a guest speaker in on a Wednesday night. Thursday morning, we were having breakfast together at a local restaurant, and I was just sharing with him some things that were in my heart, and I kind of made the statement, I just don't know that these people can even achieve that. I don't know. I just am frustrated. And he said, have you ever considered that the vision that you have is not for here? And until that very second, I had never considered that in my life. And that became a God thing that just changed everything in my life, that created a vision that I then began to pursue. We began this church. And along the way, there have been, you know, many, many significant moments that we could go back. But what I understand also is that for most of you, you don't care what happened at North Junior High. Some of you weren't even born when we started 30 years ago. And so rather than looking backwards, I want to look forward. I like this quote that Charles Kettering said. He said, we should all be concerned about the future because we will have to spend the rest of our lives there. We should pay attention to what our future is. It's kind of like what the psalmist said. Moses actually wrote this. He was around 100 years old, kind of towards the end of his life. And he said, Lord, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. The future is in front of us. I gave you four things that I said. You know, many of you have heard me say, my desire is, my goal is to be the oldest living American, and so far, so good. I figure if that's going to happen, then I'm middle-aged right now. And so while my goal might be to be the oldest living American, my goal is not to be the oldest living pastor. And so, 20 years from now, there's a pretty good chance Shelly and I aren't going to be in the role that we are in. We think we'll always be involved somehow at Joy Christian Center, but we don't know, and we want what's best for this church. I hope you appreciate that. And I'll say this again, there is no imminent plans. We're not about to make any announcement or anything like that. You guys keep showing up, so will I. And we'll just keep having church. Praise God. The second thing is we're going to be debt free. And that, I tell you what, amen. That just, you know, that's exciting to me. That opens up a lot of opportunity for ministry that we at times just struggle with because, you know, the priorities, budget, just like in your own homes, there's things that you would like to do. There's things that you would like to have. Similar with us, there's things we'd like to do, but it's predicated on having to beat a budget. And so we know we're going to be debt free in 20 years. We believe that we are going to make an impact in youth and children's ministries in local churches. Believe that with all of my heart. We are ready to be able to do some really powerful things, I think, as it relates to youth and children. And lastly, and this is sort of what we're celebrating today, is that we're going to make a difference in people's lives as they experience God. My heart, my greatest desire, and really this is why I'm so excited this morning, because we're going to be baptizing some people that have made a decision to follow Christ in water baptism. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that God has really put on our heart as we talk about 2041. And how many of you, when I grew up, how many of you know what monkey in the middle is? All right. We used to call it keep away. How many of you remember keep away? I'm not sure why it changed from keep away to monkey in the middle, or maybe it was monkey in the middle. I don't know. I don't know which ever was. But I played a lot of keep away when I was a kid. And the object of the game is you have a ball, you have something that you're throwing back and forth. Generally, it's three people. You know, there's one person with the ball that's throwing it to the other one, and the person in the middle has to get the ball. We're all on the same page, right? Our goal was not to keep it away. Our goal was to make the person in the middle cry. Or make them so frustrated that they quit. Now, bad pastor moment. I know. I was like, 27. So, We were young. But it was always a little bit kind of funny. Unless you're the one in the middle, it's not so much fun, especially if the other two could catch. But anyway, the idea of being in the middle can be kind of frustrating, right? When you're in between two things and you're kind of going back and forth and you're wondering about a few things. And the reason I say that to you this morning, I want you to listen to this verse in Matthew chapter 16. It says this, and Jesus had been asking the disciples a question, actually. He asked them a couple of different questions, and he said, basically, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, is? When, as you scrolling through Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is, what's the word on the street? Who are people saying that I am? So the disciples started to give answers to that question. And then Jesus turned it to them specifically and say, who do you say I am? That question, and more importantly, your answer to that question, who is Jesus? Who do you say that Jesus is? That question will determine this life and the life that is to come. How you answer that question, how you choose to respond to the Lordship of Christ in your life, whether you open up your life to him, whether you renew your mind with the word of God, whether you submit yourself or surrender yourself in a sense to the Spirit of God working on the inside of you, how you respond to that question really, it determines our eternity, it determines our destination. And so when Jesus asked that question, Peter, of course, the apostle foot in mouth, he was the first one to speak, never shy. In verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Messiah, Son of the living God. He answered correctly. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah. How many of you want to be blessed? All right? We all want to be blessed. Here's a little key in getting blessed. You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from who? Any human being. Now, that to me is a really unique statement. Jesus is commending Peter. He's saying, you didn't learn this from a human being. You didn't get this from your mom. You didn't get this from your dad. You didn't get this from your grandparents. You didn't get this from anybody else. There was a different source of knowledge, a different source of information that somehow Peter tapped into. He didn't get it from his synagogue. He didn't get it from a rabbi. He didn't get it from a human being, which should alert us to something. There is knowledge that you and I have that comes through experience. It comes through other people. And when I was talking about monkey in the middle, on one side, we have a lot of information that we live our life with, don't we? We have maybe pictures or images that were created by the words that people said that became a truth for us, that became something that we revert back to or that we trust in. And for Peter and for the other disciples, they could have been answering according to what other people were saying, what the masses were saying, what the crowd was saying. But Peter didn't answer that way. He didn't answer according to tradition, according to the law, according to other teachers or rabbis or instructors. He answered by something else. And it wasn't a flesh and blood, which to me, I think begs the question, where do we learn the things from that are foundational in our life? I think that one of the biggest struggles of the Christian life is when we are presented with and believe things that are true. In our life, I've said this before, there's a common phrase, you just need to live your own truth. Sounds really good, but it's stupid. Don't do that. Because you are not the sum author of truth. Do we let people live according to their truth if their truth is that they've been abused their whole life and they think they're worthless? That may be their truth. That may be what is true. And maybe they've lived their entire life as a victim. Do we let people live that way? No, we try to talk them out of it, don't we? We don't just settle with, well, that's their truth. And there are sometimes like, yeah, you know what? You're believing that and you're unwilling to change your thinking. But there's another kind of knowledge. There's another kind of truth and we call it revelation knowledge. It is knowledge that comes from God and his word. It is knowledge that surpasses human understanding and is of divine origin, which is what Jesus says here. You did not learn this from any human being. He said, my father's revealed this to you. This is, and actually we use the word revelation, and maybe that sounds a little ooh kind of things to you. I don't know. But revelation knowledge is, and I like this definition, revelation knowledge, it is knowledge that is beyond the scope of human understanding. It can only be made known by divine revelation. Peter uttered something that was beyond the scope of human understanding. Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You're the promised one. You're the Christ. And Jesus, I don't know if he was surprised. He's like, wow, Peter, you didn't get that from your rabbis. You didn't get that from your upbringing. You got that from the Heavenly Father. That tells us that there's knowledge that challenges who we are. There's knowledge that challenges us where we are. And the most difficult thing of the Christian life is when I know what's true in my life, when I know what's true in my experience, what I know is true based on what I grew up with or my traditions, I know that those things are true, but then I'm faced with another truth. And that land in between what I know to be true, or what I believe to be true, and what I know to be true, that in between becomes extremely difficult. We know to recognize a lie sometimes. But it's when we're faced with true truths. I've lived this way my entire life. And it is our answer. It is our answer to who is Jesus? Who am I in your life? It is that answer that we arrive at that makes the difference, that changes, makes the difference and that changes our life. He says in verse 18, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock, I'm not 100% sure that Peter was the rock Jesus was referring to. I think it is a revelation of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. That is the rock that the church is built on, I personally believe. I say to you again that you are Peter, that means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. The church that Jesus is building, 20 years in the future, 100 years in the future, however long that it is, the church that he is building, and we've come through the church, the capital C church, has come through difficult days in the last 18 months, but the church has faced troubles and trials and persecution and all kinds of things for a lot longer than that. We have it easy here in America. We have it easy compared to other parts of the world today and compared to what the church has experienced over the last 2,000 years. We have it easy. We really do. And so our answer in that moment, what is it about this church that Jesus began to build? And again, not a building, it's not a denomination. This was before there was a choir or worship team, lights, fog, whatever. This was before everything else. And they had one revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what they started with. That's what they conquered with. And Jesus said, this church I build, again, not a building, but it is a people. The Greek word is ekklesia. It means people that were called out to gather together. They were called out of this world's system. They were called out of slavery and bondage to sin. They're called out of and then gathered together. It is this church, not a club, not a society, not something we're just trying to kind of be some nice social warriors and people just to kind of, you know, make a community a little better. Those things are byproducts of what the church can and should do, but it's not the heart of what it is. And so what is it about this church that Jesus is so passionate about? That he's taking the time to build it. He is the architect and the master builder, along with the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit who unites us and brings us together. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul was doing a minister's meeting, and at the end of this, he says, guard yourselves. He's talking to those leaders. He says, guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church purchased with his own blood. He saw you and he saw me as so valuable and so precious that he purchased us. The church, the capital C church, should not be something that we just kind of, you know, oh, well, you know, whatever one's closer, whatever one, whatever. God wants to join us to something. He's called us together to be a part of something. And so the church is not God's, is not man's idea, it's God's idea. And we celebrate that. It's the reason that we invest in, that we serve in, that we pray for, that we do those things. Because God placed such a price on people, such a price on his church that he was willing to shed divine blood, the blood of his son. We should be very careful what we say about the church, how we respond to other people in the church. Because that is something that God says is the apple of my eye, in that sense that I paid an extreme price for those people. I paid an extreme price to call you the church, to call you out of sin and slavery and bondage and all those other things. Called you out so that I could meld you together into a group, into a body, into, as the Apostle Paul said, we are the body of Christ and Jesus is the head. And when we come together, Jesus said that when my people come together, two or three are gathered together, I will be there. Amen. Yeah, you can be a believer, you can be a Christian, you can go to heaven and never go to a church, but you are missing so much. Bible tells us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. In the evil day, you need fellowship. You need one another. In fact, it is in a body, it is in a local church that we get to experience the one another's that Jesus talked about. Love one another, care for one another, pray for one another, encourage one another. That's why circles are so important. That person across from you, that person that you see their need, that you see their pain, that you're able to pray for them. Praise God. Hallelujah. The church is important. The church is important. The church is important. But that's not all the church is about. It isn't about us just coming together. Jesus told us in Mark chapter 16, he said to them, that was his disciples at the time, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I would venture to guess that almost all of you, unless you were never raised in a church, have heard this. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. He who believes and is baptized, he who believes and is baptized. This morning we're celebrating a baptismal service. We've got, I don't know, 18, 19 people roughly right in there that are being baptized this morning. Probably a few more of you are going to be inspired to be baptized this morning as well. And we hope that happens as well. But baptism is a tradition in the church. Baptism is something that a lot of different groups and people celebrate in different ways. But I want to maybe approach it in just a little bit different way. First of all, the word baptize itself didn't start out as a church word. I think that pretty much the only time that you hear the phrase baptism is really either by in the church setting or baptism by fire. Some of those things. We have water this morning, not fire. Just. But the word baptize didn't start out as a church word. The word baptize simply means to immerse into. And it was used in different ways in that culture 2,000 years ago. In that Greek culture, the word baptized could mean a ship that sunk. The ship was on the water, but then it got full of water. When it got full of water, it sank and really became one with the water. So that ship got baptized. It was on the water, full of water, then under the water. And it's a picture. Actually, another idea for the word baptized was when they were making colored cloth, they would take some cloth and they would dip it, they would immerse it, they would baptize that cloth and it would come out a different color. A lot of like, you know, there's a lot of people today practice baptism at a salon. They walk in with hair one color, walk out with it another color. Their head was baptized. But there's a picture, there's a reason. There's a reason because you're not who you used to be. Another idea of baptism was in that day they would take bread and they would sop it in oil and wine. It would change the texture and it would change the flavor of it. I think of it as an Oreo. I baptize an Oreo in coffee. Oreos are really, really good. Coffee, really, really good. Take an Oreo, and you put it into coffee. It's amazing. As long as it stays together and doesn't fall apart. You take a person who is a follower of Christ. And they were going one way, before they were a follower of Christ, and they were going one way, pretty good person, but they're introduced to Jesus. And instead of being on top, they're now full of Jesus. They're immersed in Jesus. And you add the Holy Spirit, you add baptism, you add the life of God to them, and they become an awesome person. And so baptism is not just a tradition. And so I wanna just take a couple of moments this morning, because there's a couple of different ways that we could teach this. I could just say to you, Jesus commanded us to believe and be baptized. You better get baptized or God's going to be mad at you. Now, I could approach it that way. Some people do. I don't. Because I always want to know why. Why? What's the why behind the what? I see that Jesus says I should be baptized, but why? How many of you want to know why? It's important. It's not just a, none of you do well. All right, let's just move right ahead. Haddon, thank you. We'll have the Bible study for the seven of you after this. No. And so there's a couple of different ways that we can teach this. And so I want to, and actually let me answer, I'm going to answer, first of all, the number one question we at Joy Christian Center get about baptism. Number one, above anything else, above every other question that we get. You've heard me many times. I said it last week, probably say it next week. I'm going to say it again. My favorite script, my theme scripture for this church, Acts 8, 5 and 8. He preached Christ and there's great joy in the city. I believe that it is the preaching of Christ that changes us. It is the word of God that creates faith in our heart so that we're transformed, but then we carry that mission to the world. And when that happens, it doesn't just affect a person. It doesn't just affect a church. It affects a community, the community. It affects our surrounding area. And so I've shared that scripture often throughout the years at this church, Acts 8, 9, and 8. But Acts 8, 12, after Philip preached Christ and there was joy in the city, verse 12 says, but now the people believed Philip's preaching. The people believed Philip's, message of the good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They believed, and as a result, many men and women were baptized. They believed, and they were baptized. Now, I like that scripture. I've said that scripture many times. Here's the question. Let me read this in Acts chapter 19. He said unto them, well, actually, John had gone down into Ephesus, different areas in Acts chapter 19. He's preaching. And he finds some disciples, some believers. In verse 3 says, he said to them, into what then were you baptized? Apparently, baptism was important to the Apostle Paul because he wanted to know about their baptism. So they said, into John's baptism. Now, let me ask you a quick question, all you Bible scholars. Who's the John that was he was referring to here? John the Baptist. John the what? What do you suppose John was famous for? Baptizing people, right? So here they are. I think they were probably like, well, we had John's baptism. Ha-ha, that should be, I mean, his name's Baptist. How much more follower can you get than being baptized by John the Baptist? Not one of his underlings, not one of his other people, but John the Baptist. Paul was like, oh, awesome. Here's what he said. That's what he said. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized, what? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Number one question we get here is, do I need to be baptized again? Here's a group of people that were. I believe two things. Number one, baptism follows believing. Baptism, as Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. Often we get the question, well, I was baptized as an infant. My response is, do you remember that? Was that a choice that you made, or was it a choice that somebody else made for you? Because baptism isn't necessarily the entrance into a club. Baptism is a sign of what has already occurred in our life. And so, as I mentioned to you in Acts chapter 8, verse 5 and 8, Philip went to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ. In verse 12, the response was, now the people who believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many of them were baptized, men and women. They believed. Then they were baptized. It doesn't say that they brought their infants. It doesn't say, I'm not going to fight with people about it. This is just what I believe. I believe this is the Bible pattern. As I said, there's a lot of different ways that churches accomplish this custom of baptism. I'm telling you what our custom is. You see, we have one truth that perhaps you were raised with, but now we're being challenged with another truth, with another pattern, with another example. In Acts chapter 8, towards the end of that chapter, Philip is now preaching to a single person in a chariot. And verse 36, as they rode along, they came to a small body of water. And the eunuch said, look, water, why can't I be baptized? Verse 37, you can, Philip answered, if you believe with all of your heart. And the eunuch replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He stopped the chariot. Whoa. He stopped the chariot and they went down into the water and Philip baptized him. When did he baptize him? After this Ethiopian said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Believing, baptism. I think this, and I'm going to ask our baptism team to come this morning. And Shelly, Pastor John, if you guys would begin to assemble them and bring them up in just a moment. I want to address those that are being baptized. And again, I want to know the why behind the what. The Apostle Paul paints for us pictures of redemption in the Word of God. They're object lessons in one sense. They are ways, the attention's over here. They're just going to take the top off the lid. And it's really pretty boring. This is the important stuff over here. I know you all want to observe and make sure that they're doing their job right. Trust them. It's not their first rodeo. They will get it done correctly. All right. Thank you. So this is the why behind the what. I felt like Wizard of Oz, pay no attention to the baptism team over there. So he gives us some pictures of what redemption is like. We know that communion is a picture of redemption. Communion is a picture of what God did for us. His body was broken so that ours could be made well. His body was broken like bread because there's hunger that we have. And there is a spiritual hunger that cannot be satisfied with the things of this world. And so Jesus is the only one that can satisfy that hunger that resides deep down in our heart, deep down on the inside of us. The cup represents the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. It took the pure, spotless, holy blood of the Lamb of God to redeem you and to redeem me. That's why we celebrate communion. It isn't just this tradition that we're going to slam it quick and call it good. I'm more, people, why don't we do communion more often? I'm more concerned that people understand why we do it. Because anything that becomes a tradition becomes lifeless. Just a thought. Second thing is baptism. Baptism is a picture of what we do with him, of how redemption affected us and him together. And so for those of you that are being baptized this morning, just listen to this, and for all of you. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. That is a picture of what you were going to be doing today, that you died with Christ. And water baptism is a picture of being buried with him. The Bible tells us that our old man was crucified with Christ, that we are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. And when old things pass away, what do we do with old things that have passed away? We bury them. We bury them. That's what this is a picture of. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Because of redemption, because of the new birth, because the old was crucified, died, and buried, there is a new life. When these come out of the waters of baptism, that is a picture of Jesus who was resurrected from the dead and came out of a tomb. Now seated at the right hand of God. Verse 5, since we have been united with him, kind of like the ship, it was on the water, got full of water, and it became one with the water. We were without Christ, we got full of Christ, and now we're one with Christ. Baptism is a picture of that. Since we've been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Verse 6, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves. I want to say one more thing this morning. We sometimes say this the wrong way. We mean well, but we say this the wrong way. Jesus died for me so that I can go to heaven. Well, there's truth there. But you don't escape death. The followers of Christ did not escape death. You need to know that you died. The most powerful thing, the most wonderful thing, the most beautiful thing that God did for us was to kill us, to count us dead. You didn't escape death. Jesus was a substitutionary death, but we died. And as far as God is concerned, we died with him. You need to know that the person who used to do those things is dead, that the person who used to do those things is buried, that the person that now lives, it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And this life that I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's a new life on the inside of me. A lot of times we're trying to escape the old life by just, you know, just willpower, and it's important. We need to do that. But we're depending on our own strength rather than the strength of God. Depending on our life instead of the life of God on the inside of us. Does that make sense to you this morning? And so these folks this morning are going to be baptized. I open this up to anybody this morning. If you are a follower of Christ, if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and either were never baptized or perhaps were baptized as an infant or baptized in another situation in life, maybe you remember it, maybe you don't remember it. If you want to be baptized, we got extra towels, we got extra stuff. We have stuff to, it's warm outside, I think, and it's not like 30 below. We've had people get baptized, you know, at 30 below and just, well, anyway. So if you want to be baptized, you can join these folks that are here, and praise God. Let's rejoice with them this morning, praise God. Let's get our first one up here.
Amen. We have Aaron Gertis first.
What was that? Oh, you were a dive-in? I've seen it on YouTube where the, and I wouldn't try this with you because I can't lift you, but I've seen a lot of crazy things on YouTube. Aaron, you've made Jesus the Lord of your life.
I have.
And what is it that brings you to this point this morning?
Well, as I was sitting there, you said something and it popped in my head. I'm here to affect the community for sure. I've been thinking about what I was going to say, and it's my son is up here with me. He's the next to come up, and I figured, what kind of man am I if I don't lead by example? I've been baptized as a child before, but this is my faith gone public.
Amen. 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 Well, on your profession of faith this morning, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There we go. Woo. Praise God. Yeah.
Next, his son, Christian Gertis.
Christian, be careful up here this morning because this water is rough all of a sudden. We got a little tsunami going on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You've made Jesus the Lord of your life?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to say this morning?
Ever since I joined the ministry team, I just been seeking more. And then I went to Revive at Lake George, and it just struck me that I wanted to get baptized.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Next, we have Chris Gully.
That is awesome. Praise the Lord. Kelly, if you want to come right up here, yeah. Make sure we do it right. You're going to need to scooch forward just a little more there if you can. Thank you. Hope there's water left for the rest of you here. Praise God. You've made Jesus the Lord of your life. Anything you would like to say to our congregation this morning?
Yes. Every time I've watched water baptism, I've always said that the next time I'm going to do it, the next time's gone by quite a few times, and now this is the time that I'm going to do it.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, and so on the profession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Next up is Kelly Gully.
I'm not sure how God counts his baptism because it's kind of two in one, but we look forward to a baby dedication. And you've made Jesus the Lord of your life?
Yes.
And anything you would like to say?
You know, I was reflecting on this and how many times God's been so good in my life, whether I've been paying attention or not. And just when you look back, it's much better when you're checked in with Jesus and...
Amen. Amen. Well, you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, so I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. blessing on that little life that's on the inside of you. Praise the Lord.
Next up is Michael Hagen.
I told you it was warm. Make sure we move up there. Michael, you've made Jesus the Lord of your life?
Yes, I have.
Anything you would like to say this morning?
Yeah, I was pondering this. I abused drugs and alcohol for 23 years of my life, and went through a 12-step program, and I got saved. You know, God saved my life. And
praise God. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're ready. You're good. I'm good. All right. Well, on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, a new creation in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Next up is Andrew Lyon.
Come on in, Andrew. Andrew, you've made Jesus the Lord of your life.
Always and forever.
Always and forever. Amen. Anything you'd like to say this morning?
I guess like you said, as an infant, I was baptized. Always wanted to do it, never really did. Last Sunday, I made it to church, despite only getting 2 hours of sleep, having worked a double. So everybody said I was crazy for coming here, but, you know, the baptism thing came up, and I said, I'm just going to do it.
Amen. So I'm here. Just do it. I like it. It sounds like a commercial. Just do it. You've made Jesus the Lord of your life, and on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Next up is Jalen Paulson.
Thank you, Andrew. You've made Jesus the Lord of your life?
Yes, I have.
And I read your little testimony thing. So what brings you here today?
Well, I want people to know the amazing God that I worship every single day. Because I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not.
Mm. Amen. Amen. I see you got your mom's jeans there, don't you?
Amen.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Next up is her mother, Angela Paulson.
Need a hand. This one's kind of unique. So, Angela, what brings you here this morning?
If you would have asked me last week, have you been water baptized, I would have said, yeah, of course I have. And my friend asked me, she said, well, what's your story? And I went, I don't know. I don't remember. And I was not baptized like as an infant baptism or anything like that, but I've really lived my life as if I have been baptized, and I've always walked out my faith my whole life. But I'm not okay that I don't remember this moment. And so it is going forward with no shame and no fear that I serve a living God and Christ lives in me, and I'm okay letting the world know that. And not that I was ashamed before, but it's time to make sure that I know that I've taken this step. So
I thought the kind of interesting thing was when you asked your mom.
I did.
Who was on staff at a church that you grew up in.
I said, Mom, do you remember if I've ever been baptized? She said, I don't remember. I'll look at my pictures. She couldn't find any pictures. So I said, I'm just going to do it because
Amen.
Even if it's a double dipping, it's okay, right?
That's exactly right. I was baptized 3 times on my journey, so one finally stuck. Praise the Lord. Angela, you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, and on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Next, we have Crystal Rakowski.
Well, Crystal, you've made Jesus the Lord of your life?
Yes, I have.
Anything you would like to say to our congregation?
I've been baptized before as an infant, but this time it's my choice, and he's been very, very good to me through life, and more so recently through the last couple years of what we've been through, and it's really helped a lot.
He's begun a good work in you. He will finish it. He will finish it. On your profession of faith this morning, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Praise God.
And next is her son, Anthony Herrera.
Tony. You good? All right, okay. If you slip and fall, it's on you, not me. Anthony, you've made Jesus the Lord of your life. Yes?
Yeah.
Well, then it's my pleasure to baptize you this morning. Plug your nose. Grab your hand. Baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I just got sprinkled.
Next up is Kayla Schaffel.
Yeah, can I just... Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, please don't. Just a reminder, the water is warm. You've made Jesus the Lord of your life?
Yes, I have.
And what brings you to this decision, this point today?
I've been, in the last few months, it's just been a lot of hardship, a lot of black in the life, and I just want to, especially now that we're starting fresh, I want to start fresh in Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And that's what this represents. So on your profession of faith this morning, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah.
Ready. Next up, we have Danette Schoenberg.
We don't have a double duty tank. We could baptize parents and kids together. Yeah. Of a thing. Something. Well, you've made Jesus the Lord of your life?
Yes, I have.
Anything you would like to say today?
Yeah, I mean, by you announcing doing this, it just kept calling me and calling me, and I want to be saved and take away this hurt and
Amen.
All that, and I know Jesus will save me.
That's right. He's done everything he's going to do. He's made you a new creation in Christ. So I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah.
Anyone else who wants to be baptized? We still got a lot of water here, a lot of room. We can certainly do that. Yep. Praise
Emily
the Lord.
Schoenberg.
Emily, you've made Jesus the Lord of your life?
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to say today, or are you not really? All right. I won't put you on the spot, then. On your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Hallelujah. Spirit. Amen. Praise God.
John Idy.
John scares me a little bit. He's so excited about today that he's. I thought he might do a cannonball or something here. Just. John, you made Jesus the Lord of your life?
Yes, I have.
And I know you'd like to say something this morning.
I want to thank God for choosing me, for choosing all of us, for being here at this moment, and obviously for sending his son so we could all have new life and be forgiven.
Amen.
And only by his favor have I been made a strong mountain.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. On your profession of faith this morning, go ahead and plug your nose, grab your wrist. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Next Praise up, God. Leah Scrock. Is that right? Okay, Leah.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Whoops, sorry. Leah, you've made Jesus the Lord of your life?
Yes, I have.
And anything you would like to share this morning?
Yeah, in 2016, I experienced a miracle besides the birth of my son, but it really just made me know that God was real and that he's listening, and he answered me like within 30 minutes of me just crying out to God. Literally, there was a knock at my door, and I just knew from that day forward that God is 100% real.
Praise God.
And since then, I've just wanted to continue to learn and grow in God's ways, and now I want to teach my son to grow in his ways. So.
Amen.
That's why I'm doing this.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, on your profession of your faith this morning, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Anyone else this morning?
Next
going
up,
once and twice. Praise the Lord.
Next up, her son, Silas Schlichting. Go ahead, son.
Come on, Silas.
You sit right here, Silas.
Need a hand or you good?
All
right.
Kids are all good.
Oop, turn her, oop, turn around. Sit down. There you go. Need some. He can't stay still. He's too buoyant. You've made Jesus the Lord of your life?
Yes.
Well, then I baptize you this morning. Go ahead and plug your nose. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Next up is Braden Wingus.
What's up, man? Oh, turn around, sit down. There you go. You all right? Yeah, good, good. This is a big day for you. It's an important moment in your life. Darn water just won't let you sit still, will it? You've made Jesus the Lord of your life?
Yes, I have.
Is there anything you want to say today?
No.
No. I don't blame you. And then on your profession of faith today, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyone else this morning? Come on up here. Make sure you don't have your phone, billfold, whatever else. Anyone else today? Praise God. Yeah, you want to grab, take your shoes off? Got a towel for you? Yeah, make sure your pockets are in. A young man shall lead them. Praise God. Come on in. Be seated. Whoop, just turn around. Sit down. There you go. There you go. Perfect. Perfect. So what in the world inspired you to get baptized today?
I just saw everybody get baptized, and I thought I should get baptized. It just seems like the right thing to do.
You made Jesus the Lord of your life?
Yeah.
You have? Okay. Then it's my pleasure to baptize you this morning. Grab your wrist. Plug your nose. There we go. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else today? Are we good? I have one thing I want to share with you this morning before we let you go. Making Jesus the Lord of your life is one of the most important days of a person's life. And I was thinking, you know, that scripture, could you put that back up, Romans, the scripture Romans that I finished with? For we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. I am convinced that the body of Christ really has a lack of depth of understanding or, as I mentioned earlier, revelation about what that truly means, the new life in Christ. I mentioned to you how important death is. You don't escape death. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, when there was the blood of the lamb that was on the doorpost of the house, those in the house didn't die, but there was a death. It was a substitutionary death. It was the death of a lamb. Well, similarly, in the kingdom of God, while you didn't experience death, the Bible says you were dead. You were already dead. But then because of what Jesus did, the sacrificial lamb, his death was a substitutionary death for you. And that's why we celebrate or talk about the new birth. And I want to share this story with you for a reason. Many of you have heard this, but for those of you that perhaps are here for one of the first times or perhaps online, how important the new birth is. Years ago, I don't remember exactly, probably about 12 or 13 years ago, we were building this building. And so I was kind of really involved in just construction in general, not that I was a contractor, but just paying attention and all those other things. Drove past the McDonald's over here on Highway 10. Saw a sign out there, and it said, we will be closed for remodeling, kind of the obligatory, pardon the interruption, whatever it was. And I just thought, oh, they must be remodeling. Okay, that's fine. I don't go there real often anyway. And so I drove past. A few days later, I drove past that place again, and the only thing that was there was the sign that said, we're closed for remodeling. It was an empty lot. I thought when they were going to remodel, they might change the paint colors. They might, change out, swap out machinery, and they maybe would put in different tables or chairs and things like that. Not the way McDonald's does it. They brought in bulldozers, and they destroyed the whole building. And there was nothing but an empty lot that was there. And I thought to myself, I really like the way that McDonald's remodels. That's the easiest way to remodel. You just get rid of the old, and then you build something brand new in its place. And the moment I thought that, it was like the Spirit of God said, that's exactly what I did with you. Amen. I didn't remodel you. I didn't make you a kinder, gentler version of who you used to be. I didn't just step into your life with a little bit of peace. I killed you and got you out of the way. The one that was the problem, the one that was the failure, the one that couldn't measure up. I got him out of the way, and I put my life on the inside of you. You're a new creation. And man, when that went off in my heart, I have goosebumps right now because it crystallized for me the power of the new birth. A lot of us are struggling with who we used to be, and there is that battle, our flesh nature. But until you understand that who you used to be died, the old man died, that old being died, and now resurrection life is on the inside of you. In the book of Romans, it says the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you and me. Woo! That's powerful. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning, close your eyes today. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you would like to today, it is a simple transaction of faith whereby we believe. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, say, Pastor, would you pray with me? I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I would love to pray with you. Anyone at all today? Just hold your hand up real high. Praise God. Yes, anyone else? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Online as well, you can respond that way. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, come to you today in Jesus' name. I recognize I need a Savior. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I believe that you died for me and that I died with you. And I believe that by the confession of my faith, that there's a new life in me. I receive you now into my life, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for these that have prayed this prayer in this room for the first time, online for the first time. I thank you, Father, that you have begun a work in them. And Father, we trust you to complete that work, that you will bring them from glory to glory to glory to glory, that they would achieve and become exactly who it is that you have declared and said that they would be, that they would live as sons of the Most High God, that they would live as children of God and grow in you. And Father, I thank you for the part that we as a church have to play to try to encourage them, to pray for them. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given gifts into this body whereby we can minister to one another effectively. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the next 20 years of Joy Christian Center. We're ready for a big celebration next week. And so, God, we thank you for all the good things that you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.